Today's going to be a tough day for me to get through this because so many emotional things, roller coasters up and down. But I want to welcome you to Prayer of Faith if you're visiting with us today. If you've been here a while and just kind of still feeling us out, welcome to Prayer of Faith today. I hope you found the worship beneficial to you and to your soul. And I hope you find the message today beneficial to you and your soul as well. So as we'll talk about the message today, again, just a lot of emotional things going on. We had a wonderful celebration of Mark's life yesterday. Whew, yeah, that was amazing. You know, and it's not about numbers, but when you're bringing in every extra seat you have in the house and there's over 250 people to celebrate Mark Caldwell's life, what an amazing testimony that is. And we'll touch on that a little bit at the end of service as well. But it was fantastic yesterday to see those people here to support Mark and the family and Jan as well. And we just ask for continued prayers and support for Jan and her family as well as they just face a new chapter in their life as we do those things. Got a letter. Whew. Dale said, "How's your son doing?" I said, "Well, tough, but he sent me a letter." This is his letter, by the way. Cindy wrote him a letter and said, "There's a backside you can fill out also, son." Okay? But he chooses just the front. And this one is for the church. And I thought, man, it means so much to him that you guys write. And for those of you that have, whether it's a youth group or the adults or whatever. It says, "Dear Prayer of Faith, I would like to thank everyone for their continued prayers and support. Basic training is going decently well. I'm meeting new people, having new and different experiences, and kind of having fun. After the first 3 days, they eased up a bit. I miss being able to come to church and seeing everyone, and I can't wait to be back and see you guys." And he simply said, "I miss you guys." If you missed our Wednesday night Bible study, it was a powerful time. And I said, when you're here, every seat that you guys fill, every seat that you fill, when you're here, it matters. It matters when you're here. It matters when you're not here. And sometimes that getting up and going to church, as hard as that is for you, it is not for you. And I hope I make sense there. It's not always about you when you come to church. Sometimes you're thinking, "I don't want to." But it's about somebody else being blessed by your presence and being there. Now, that isn't a plea just to get people to come to church. It's telling you that you matter. And God wants you to know that you matter. And the enemy wants you to know that you don't matter. And nobody cares and nobody misses you. But we know that the enemy is a liar. We know that the enemy is a liar. Today's scripture reading is out of Isaiah 43 and 44, and I'm going to be bouncing around, and I'm just going to read a scripture and pray over it, and then we'll move on to our regular text. You can try and follow me, but again, I'm going to be bouncing around as I read this. "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. For behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." I'm going to focus on that one more time. "I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Remember, we just sang, "Let it rain." And for some of us, it's very dry where we are. But he says, "I will make a river in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches." I often wonder why he picks those particular animals, but whatever. "Because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, and give drink to my people, my chosen, this people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me there is no God, and who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Let us bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. It's telling us to rely on God in these things. And it's telling us when we go through these different things, we need to rely on God. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And right now, my message today is, why me? Why me? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Our church body is desperately searching and needing Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. We know that we're doing good works. We know that we're doing good things in the church body. How do we know that? Because the enemy is present. And the enemy is making himself known. And the enemy is popping up in all different places, from families to groups. The enemy is there. So we know that we're on a good path. We know we're heading down the right trail. And where we're going is important, because the enemy's trying to derail us. And we need our God who heals us, the Lord who heals. You know, in the Bible, it tells us in a couple different spots not to be a stumbling block for our brothers and sisters. It tells us to remove stumbling blocks in the path of our brothers and sisters. And then it tells us not only don't be one, but don't put one down in front of them. And I think the enemy oftentimes puts those stumbling blocks down there, and we struggle to see it. On vacation, I was going down a road, and I struggled to see a little stumbling block, if you will. You call it a speed bump. That thing was the same color as the ground. You laugh. It was a pretty hard hit when our little van loaded down with all seven of us hit that thing. I thought we lost all the wheels and tires. And before I could do anything, we hit it. Well, the enemy does the same thing. He puts those stumbling blocks out there, and it's very hard for us to identify those and see those as actual stumbling blocks. And I think, man, we have to be careful. When the enemy is around, in John 10:10, he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he says, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it, what? More abundantly. He has come to overcome the enemy and defeat the enemy. But he says, watch out, because the enemy is only here to steal, kill, and destroy. We have to keep our eyes open for that. And the enemy fills us with doubt. The enemy does a great job filling us with doubt. We're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You can't pass that because you're not smart enough. He gives us doubt in our faith. Well, you prayed, but he didn't answer it, so your God must not exist. Your God must not care about you. He gives us doubt in our Savior and who and what he is and who and what he has done for us, in ourself, our relationships. He's out there destroying relationships and our skills and abilities. Our jobs, anything he can, he is planting that seed of doubt and fear. And if we're not careful who we listen to and who we talk to and who our circle of friends are, they're going to feed into that as well. And they're going to give us advice on dealing with that that isn't godly advice. When we talk about God healing us, and why me when we face certain trials and tribulations, it's a two-part deal. God heals us, and then we have to do something to maintain that healing. Let's just tell off on ourselves today. How many have received medicine from the doctor and not taken it? Okay, and then the rest of you that think, I took mine. How many of you took medicine but didn't take it till they told you to, till it was gone or to whatever? Lord, I thought I was the only one. Okay, two of you other people. Okay. The doctor heals us. God is the ultimate physician. He heals us, but we have to do our part to maintain that. We have to do what He says to do, take what He says to take. I'm not going to go down that other route I was going to, but anyway, we have to do our part to do that. In 2 Chronicles, I love this verse. God is speaking to the people. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And He simply says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Now listen to this verse also. It says, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house. And we pray over this church constantly. And we anoint the doors and the seats with oil. And we ask God to set this place apart for His work. And to lead and guide and direct us for His work. But in doing this, it says, if my people, and we're going to come back to that word if in just a bit as we get into our main scripture. It says, if my people do this. And it says, if they're called by my name, if they will, first of all, they have to humble themselves. Okay, so if they'll humble themselves, check. Oh, and pray. Check. Oh, and seek my face. Check. Oh, one more. And turn from their wicked ways. Then and only then will I hear from heaven. We can't just say, man, I humbled myself and I prayed. But did you keep on doing the things that He doesn't want you to do? Now I'm going to be honest, my trainer from the gym is here today. Oh Lord, no, you don't have to stand up or anything, but I've confessed up here that you've told me things and you've helped me. And it's not your fault that I look this way, okay? I'm trying. When I do what she tells me to do, I'll be better. But until then, I've got no one to blame. She says amen. This is true. And I've confessed that it's my own fault that I'm the way I am. It's nobody else's fault, but it's the same way in our faith walk. Man, you've got to humble yourself. And then pray. Notice that humbling yourself comes before you pray. Don't pray and then try and humble yourself after the fact. You've got to humble yourself first when you go to the Lord in prayer, and then you pray. And then He says, but not just that, seek my face. And then when you do these things in the midst of prayer, your tail, so to speak, you've got to cut that off. And you've got to turn from your wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. And then I will forgive your sins. And then I will heal your land. And then my eyes and ears will be open and attentive to your need. Amen? We've got to make sure we're doing our part. God will heal us, but we have to maintain the healing. You can give direction, but I've got to follow that direction to maintain that. All these requirements God puts in place, and sometimes we say, man, it's so simple, and it is, but we make it complicated. In times of trouble, we tend to lash out. I was trying to figure out where my papers went. It's your bottle of water that was up here. So that's all right. I thought, man, they're sticking together. I've got a problem here. We can work through that stuff. Nothing like calling her out or calling him out or whoever had this one. I'm sorry. I'm just sorting out my own problems up here, okay? But when we run into times of trouble, we tend to lash out at who? Don't say your spouse's name or something like that. We tend to lash out at God. God, you didn't. God, you wouldn't. God, why did you allow this? Why didn't you do this? It is God we tend to lash out to, but why do we do that? It says, man, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, the Lord will provide, or the Lord who provides. He says, man, we don't have to worry about in times of trouble knowing who to blame. It's not about blaming. It's about where are we? Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need. And I reread that a couple times. And my God shall supply all your need. Not your needs, all your need. According to what? According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I was talking to a couple of our young folks today, and I said, your need may be this today, but you don't have that same need next week and the week after. You may have that want and desire the weeks after, but your need is only for today, and He provides it here. But He says, I'm not providing it down there because you don't need it. You want it, you desire it. When He provided manna, you want something different, you may want more of it. He said, man, I am providing your need for what you need right now. He shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Now, finally, you're going, okay, Adam, get to it. Finally, turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to read about going through trials and tribulations. And we're talking about Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, of course. And what did this follow? This followed His baptism by John. And when John baptized him, remember John said, I don't want to do that. But he said, no, you have to do it so that the Scripture is fulfilled. But it says when he did this, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah! God is pleased with Jesus Christ. He's getting ready to start His mission. And what happens right after that? Oh my Lord, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted by the devil. Hey, you're getting ready to start some great mission, some ministry, some new job, something. You say, this is where God wants me, and this is what He wants me to do, and it's a new chapter in your life. He says, but before I allow you to undertake this new thing, follow me. Because I'm going to put you up to a little test over here. Say, what? Yeah, I'm going to put you to a test. Why would we be so surprised by this if He took the Son of God, who was led by the Spirit up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil? And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, we won't even get into that, afterwards He was hungry. Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, if, there's that word again, and if is that pivotal word that can be used in so many different ways. Previously what we read was, if you seek my face, if you humble yourself, pray, seek my face, oh, and if you forget that bad stuff behind you and leave it behind, I will do this. Well, now the tempter is using this, and we have to be very careful. The enemy uses that word like, young ladies, young men, if you love me, you do this or that. If you want to be part of us and hang out with my friends, you'll do this with us. Old people, not teenagers, be careful. If is still there. If you want to be counted as anybody, you'll take this job. That distracts from principles that I hold fast to. And I know I chased that for a while. Actually, for several years, I chased that. At what cost? And he says, if. You are the Son of God. Command that these stones become bread. Now, I think we've done that before. If you are the Son of God, if you are the great healer, heal this, do this, provide this, show me a way that is very open and blatant so I don't have to say, is this what you want me to do? But I want flashing lights to say, Adam, do this. Adam, go here. And we do that. If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Okay. It wasn't enough. Come on over here, we're going to take another test. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle, on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Test number two. I'm thinking, God, you sent your Son down here to minister to us, but you've got to put him through all these tests still? That's test two. And Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Test number three. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Same thing. I don't care if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, job. If you do this, I will give you all of this. Now I'm going to tell you, just in the working world, in my past, I've heard promises that never got fulfilled. Anyone ever heard a promise from man, from flesh, that wasn't fulfilled? I don't care if it's, I'll love you forever, I'll give you everything, I'll buy you this if you just do this. They do that and they don't buy them anything. Hey, if you take this job, you'll just have to work 40 hours, no overtime, and I'll give you bonuses. 60 hours a week, no bonus comes, and you're worn down to a frazzle. So here the devil is doing the same thing. All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus had to go through these tests, and we go through tests when we're beginning or continuing on our mission, our goal. And he provides us with the same thing. Test to say, hey, are you ready? Oh, by the way, when there's a problem, will you endure and stick with it? Or are you the one that takes off? Are you a hireling? You just here while things are good, but when there's trouble, boom, you're gone? Or are you a shepherd that says, man, I'm here, and when the enemy comes, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to protect the sheep. And do all I can to protect them. We have to watch when we get into those things. When we get into those situations. When we hear people. Man, it tickles my ear. It makes me feel good. But something about it doesn't sound right. I don't think they're going to do this. And Jesus Christ, again, was just baptized. Think about our young people. I'm scanning quickly through here. Think about our young people. They're in all three areas. But when you guys go down to Falls Creek, when you guys are in a youth program, and when you guys get excited and on fire for God, it is important that you surround yourself with people that will continue to fan those flames. And don't drag you down and say, let's go back to the old places. Because that's easy to do. And we don't want to go to the old places. So in the midst of our trials and troubles, know that sometimes the enemy is there trying to drag us down to those places. And other times it's led by the Spirit. But he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." There's no amount of comfort I can give you, Jan, and this church body can give you, other than the comfort that comes from Jesus Christ. And he says, man, he is the comforter of all, and he has all, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. I don't know if you heard that, but rather than just saying, Lord, comfort me, he says, man, I will comfort you so that you can what? Comfort others. It's twofold. He's a God that comforts all. But he says, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We have that example of Jesus Christ that says, man, I have comforted you in this and through this. And by the way, I want you to go share this with others. Because I gave you the example. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. And I think, man, he wants us to go through things and be comforted by him so that we know how to comfort others and minister to them. Jesus Christ went through these trials, and it says when he was done with those, angels came and ministered to him, and they brought him comfort. Man, he sure knew how to comfort other people. You know, with Mark, we wanted healing. We have it, but we wanted healing on this side of heaven. And I had a realization as I was talking to a couple of our young folks again today. And I said, we prayed over this, and we wanted healing so that we could have a great testimony. But it came to me. The testimony came through Mark's death. What a powerful testimony that was yesterday during his service. And the things that Pastor Jack talked about in his service that Mark stood for. And Mark stood for service. His gift was also craftsmanship. Mine, that's the lowest of my gifts, by the way. And so it's no surprise to know that Mark came to our house several times and has repaired several areas of our wall when we had a dog that, let's just say, shredded our drywall during times of thunder and panic. Mark repaired those. I told him I was having a problem with the hot water heater at 2 o'clock in the afternoon after church. Hey, Mark's here. Did you invite him? I didn't invite him. Hey, what's up, Mark? I thought I'd check out your water heater. He had the gift of service to help others, and he was handy, knew what to do. I wasn't going to touch this stuff. My wife knows that all too well. But that was him. But we wanted that testimony. But we got it, but it was through his death. And the same thing with Jesus Christ. When Jesus was going to the cross, he said, man, I could get out of this. And we think, man, can you imagine the people he would have affected had he stuck around longer? And what a great testimony that would have been for our Savior. But through his death, there was a testimony. Through his death and resurrection, we have his testimony. And we have to understand that. It's the same thing with being here. When you're here, it's not always about you being here because you want to be here. I'm really passionate about the Lord today. No, I'm not. I don't want to get out of bed. I'm down. I'm depressed. I'm upset. This hasn't been going right in my life, and I don't want to be there. And someone's going to go, how you doing? And you got to go, I'm just fine. And you're not. And I don't want to be there. But again, it's not always about you. Even Jesus told people, hey, this thing that she is doing is not for you, it's for me. It's not about you, it's about me. And even Jesus said that, this is about me. Another time he said, it's not about me, it's for them. So why did Jesus come here? You have 1,000 different answers depending on who you ask and what they're focusing on. He came here to show us love. And he told us to love others as I have loved you. Comfort others as I have comforted you. I have come, why? That you may have life and have it more abundantly. He came to shine a light on our sin. He came as a bridge between God and man. And he came so that we would sin no more. And he came as a ransom for all. Do you know who you guys are? You're part of all. He came to be a ransom for all. And that includes every one of you here. Each one of us matters. When faced with a challenge, rather than saying, why me? God, why are you putting me through this? It's more like, God, what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? How can I glorify you in this? Jack told a wonderful testimony about Mark receiving communion. He said, I want to glorify God by receiving communion, and I want to sit up and take it. By the way, I love Mark saying, I don't want to step on anyone's toes and offend anyone. Please. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. It's hard to get your toes stepped on when you're like-minded and of one mind and one God and one Spirit. What can I learn from this? In facing this trial, how can I glorify God? You know, today we're going to celebrate a rededication. And if you guys want to come up for that, as I say my final comments, we'll get ready for that. But rededication for Tina Scott. And as we face these things, we have to remember Jesus Christ says, man, I'm your provider, I am your comforter, I am your healer, and you find these things in me. Tina, go ahead and come on up. Anthony, Jane. You want to use... It's on. You're coming through.
I'm not a millennial. Excuse me. Well, as I was saying, Tina is rededicating her life, and she has chosen a very unusual way to do so. But that's very in keeping with Tina. She is a very creative person. So she has chosen a creative way to do this. I've not ever seen this happen, so it is very unusual. But she is announcing who she is becoming now in Christ Jesus. I'm going to have to read this part because my memory. 3 John 1:4 says, nothing delights the Father more than seeing his children walk in truth. Isn't it wonderful? Our Father delights in what we do. This is tremendous. So I think it is great that she is going to do this. Tina is an overcomer. She is going to give her testimony. She is walking, and not just walking now, she is running in the direction that God has given her. I decided to look at the word Tina because names mean so much. Tina in the Old English means little Christian, little Christ-like person. But I looked further, and the word Tina can also mean river. I thought that was very interesting. We've been talking about river and water all this morning. And I have had that vision of the river of God's water rising up underneath this foundation. It is always here. The water of God is always here. But because the word river is meaningful, in the classical Greek, the word river, the word that we use for river, can mean ocean. And then I went back to John where it says that out of our bellies, because we belong to Christ, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Ocean. Don't just think Canadian or Soldier Creek. Think ocean. We, in fact, are just a great big water pipe is what we are. When we become Christians, we're just a great big water pipe. We don't throw anything in that flow to stop it. We don't put a faucet around it to make sure that, you know, we can regulate it. We don't have quality or quantity control. And that's me. I'm one of those. We don't throw boulders in it. And sometimes we try to stick things in the way because we've not left them up to the Lord. And so sometimes we can even create a dam across that flow because we don't. We got to have that control. So my advice is to you, if you got something in the way, just let it up. Give it to the Lord and let it flow. As we've talked about it, let it rain. Let it come out of you because that's what God's intention is for you. So Tina's going to give her her testimony, but before she does so, I am going to anoint her. And I'm going to anoint several parts of her because this is kind of special to her. Tina, I anoint your mind so that you will be able to absorb the Word of God and you will be able to bring it forth out of your mouth all the time, that it will change the atmosphere in which you live. I anoint your eyes that you will be able to see the world as Jesus sees it. I anoint your mouth that your words would be sweet and would be loving and kind to the world that is dying and in need of good agape words. I anoint your heart to think and feel like Jesus thinks and feels. And I anoint your hands that they would be the servants of God and that you would reach out to this world with loving hands and help them as you are meant to be. And I anoint your feet that you would be sent forth with the gospel of peace and walk in that gospel and share it with others. I think you've chosen this ring. You want to tell them what it says on it?
The heart is a reminder of who it's all for. And the scripture on it is Galatians 2:20, to remind me of how God wants me to be like Christ who lives in me.
I think she chose a hard part, frankly, just being, you know, when you're baptized, you're stuck in water, and then you can go on your way. She chose a hard way. She's got that thing in front of her all the time. So she's got a job in front of her. This is her testimony.
It's fortunate for me that God has been my protector and my God my entire life. And I will be forever grateful to my mom. I can't look at her, she'll make me cry, for instilling in me that God always had me. From the moment she had me christened at just 3 weeks old to the time she gave her blessing to be baptized at the age of 9. After high school, I was married, blessed with two beautiful children and then divorced after 20 years of struggling to keep Christ in my life, and mostly for selfish reasons. But God assured me He'd not given up on me. He gave me an amazing support system with my mom, my family, and now my best friend and second chance at love, Anthony. When we made the decision to commit as a couple, I told him it would be a deal breaker if we could not have God in our daily lives. For me, it was a lesson already learned, and Anthony has kept his promise to this day. Shortly before we were given the news of Ann's cancer, we had stepped away from the church. But we're still relying on God for complete healing. And that's when God called us to Prayer of Faith, the Healing Church, where we found comfort and acceptance from a new church family. Today, I'm here to recommit my life to Jesus, who has been so patiently waiting for me to learn who God created me to be. Having a big heart felt like a burden at times. But in the last 3 years, I've learned through intense Bible studies, God-given fellowship, and witnessing the many signs of God's presence and pleasure that the best use of life is love. The difference now is I have let go, and I have let God change my mind about who it is all for. I have a newly found joy in sharing my victories and blessings through discipleship and by being given the ability to show my love and ministry with my spiritual gifts. I'm humbled by my mission to speak for Christ when giving devotionals and extending blessings to my neighbors. I have victoriously stepped outside of myself, and I'm prepared to let God have all of me through His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the heartbeat of His love and the pulse of His church. Because God's truth is that He gave me a heart big enough to love all of you. And a rebirth of confidence to testify that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen.
Would you just go ahead and pray over her?
Yes. I'm going to pray over her and then pray over the congregation as well. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Tina's testimony here today, Lord. We thank You for her decision to rededicate herself to following You, to being Your disciple, to studying Your Word and all the things that come with that, to be an example, to be Your ambassador, to now carry the aroma of Christ with her. Lord, we thank You for Anthony as well being her partner. We thank You for that decision that she put in place that said it would be a deal breaker if we cannot have God in this relationship. So we thank You for them both being dedicated to You. We ask Your blessing on them and ask You to strengthen her. As we've talked about today, that when we set out on a mission, the enemy is waiting right there to trip us and make us stumble. But we ask for You to just make her feet sure on the ground and to follow Your path for her. Today, Lord, we ask You to bless us as we've heard Your word today. You're our comforter, our healer, our provider. Lord, help us to look for ways and opportunities to glorify You in the trials and tribulations that we face. Lord, draw us nearer to You, nearer to one another. Help us to press into You in our time of need. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.